Welcome or welcome back to Serious Applicants Only. And if you didn't know, this is not a podcast. This is a pod class for serious individuals who want to see serious results. In previous sessions, we highlighted how the job search is much like seeking out a mate or romantic partner. In this class, we're still associating those current romantic tropes, but we'll be holding them up to a light to see if they resemble the activities and communications of looking for a new job. And then after the dust clears, we'll take the same time to look at those strategies, smack it up, flip it, and maybe even rub it down in a way that applies to our search for a boothang. All that seriousness and a little silliness after this. Hi again, I'm Tanya Brayden, and in today's class, we're tackling a common issue that many job seekers face, getting ghosted. Getting ghosted after that job interview. All right, cue the spooky Halloween ghost and goblin music right there. Okay, but in this class, we're going to examine the 9 effective ways to increase your chances of staying on the radar and not getting ghosted and securing that dream job. So let's go ahead and dive right in. At the top of the list, tip number 1, get all of the interviewer's contact information. After the interview, make sure to collect the email addresses, phone numbers, LinkedIn, and even the physical office addresses of each person you interacted with. You may find most of this information in the signature line of a previous email exchange, or even a quick Google search never hurts. When the time comes to circle back around, having multiple channels of contact really ensures that you have the right means to follow up. Tip number 2, ask a question about the decision timeline. During the final stages of an interview, don't hesitate to ask when they plan to make their decision. This shows your interest in the role and sets expectations for both parties. You can say something like, "I'm very encouraged about our conversation today. Meeting your team was great, and I really can see myself prepping for the daily task of this role." Do you have a timeline for making a decision about the job? Is it okay for me to follow up with you by phone? Or you can come up with a sentence or two of your own. The most important thing is to express lighthearted enthusiasm and to let the other person know to expect a phone call. Relationships are built on feeling the presence of the other human. Text messages and emails are great tools, but they leave too much to the realm of a cold, non-human entity. A promise to speak again is an assurance that your life is important and that your livelihood is expecting to get this job. Say the words call, say the words speaking, we're going to talk again. Make sure that those are the implications that you're making, not the fact that you're just going to reach out or that you're going to email and wait for them to respond. A person that I trust or that I'm concerned about, I really appreciate hearing their voice. So if they expect to hear your voice and you're expecting to hear their voice, that helps to build that bond of connection. Ask a question about the decision timeline and make sure that your intention is known, that you're going to speak again. Tip number 3, express your eagerness to start. Let the interviewer know that you are excited about the opportunity and would be available to begin within the next 2 weeks. Now, my time frame is 2 weeks so that you can give 2 weeks notice to your current employer. Whatever your availability is, then let that be known. If you are available as soon as next Monday or the next pay period, whenever that starts, if it starts on the 15th or if it starts on the 1st, if it starts on the 31st, whatever the role requires, make the employer know that I'm available at a certain amount of time on a certain date, and then express your eagerness to start during that time frame. Conveying enthusiasm, making sure that you let them know that you're excited about it. Now, I don't want you to be jumping on everybody's head. Don't do backflips, but you want to seem thankful for the position. Being thankful and eager is a sign that you are going to be a joy to work around and a joy to work with. express that eagerness to start is tip number three. All right, let's move on to number four. Number four is like one of my all-time important, if I could put a star next to this tip, I would. Number four is add them to your contacts. Adding them to your contacts means making sure that the email address that has been used as a mode of communication has been starred or added to your list of trusted sources for your email, making sure that you have that person's name, first name, last name, and phone number listed in your phone, and however else you connect with them. Even if it's like LinkedIn, you want to make sure that you set, if they are reaching out to you some other way, make sure you're setting up an alert so that when that person chimes in, that you get the notification right away. Tip number four, add them to your contacts. Once you have their contact information, make sure to save their email address to your trusted list and add their name and their number to your phone. This way, you won't miss any communication from them. Put a star next to their email address in Google. I'm not sure if you have a star icon or some other way to designate that this is an important message in whatever email provider that you're using. This is an email I'm looking for so that it will not get buried in the promotions or the social media tab in Gmail. Those are some of the things that happen. If I don't interact with a message, then they'll get shuffled into some of those other inboxes. And so those are some of the things that I would suggest. Designate that this is an important person, that these are important people, so that when they do send you an email, if they send you a follow-up email, then it comes right up to the top of your inbox. If they call you, it doesn't say scam likely or some other type of unidentified caller, private name, private number. If you put their number in and then you put a name associated with it, it's not going to come up as a generic number, and you're more likely to answer it more quickly, and you won't miss that important conversation. Tip number four again, add them to your contacts. All right, we're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, we're going to have tips 5 through 9. You really don't want to miss out on tip number 9 because it is a doozy, and it may be something that you hadn't previously thought of. So stick around and we'll be right back. All right, we've rounded second base and we're back from the break. Back with tip number 5. Tip number 5 is set a calendar alert for the follow-up. After the interview, schedule a reminder for yourself to follow up exactly 2 weeks later. This shows your proactive approach and keeps you from forgetting to reconnect. After interviews, I'm exactly the opposite. I get kind of anxious. I will wake up like every morning and look in the mirror and be like, you know what? It's been almost a month since that interview. When are they going to call me? But when I calm down and actually look back at my planner, I can see it's literally only been like 4 hours since we talked. Okay, so don't be like me and be overexcited and want to call them every 5 minutes after an interview. Don't jump the gun. Take a deep breath, read an affirmation or two, and remember, be patient. And literally, I have about 13 more days and 16 hours left before I need to be assertive and call and follow up. So reassuring myself that there's going to be an alert. There's going to be a page in a planner with a highlighted block in it that lets me know that this is the day that you will follow up with your interviewer, and everything is all great. Tip number 6, send a thoughtful thank you note. So what is the difference between a regular thank you note and a thoughtful thank you note? I'm glad you asked. A thoughtful thank you note is a personal thank you card or email expressing your appreciation for the opportunity and reaffirming your interest, which can make a lasting impression on the interviewer. Not just a Walgreens special, though, with a picture of a butterfly on the front of a card and your signature on the inside. No offense or no shade to Walgreens. They are the goats as far as, you know, when I have a cold and I need some Pedialyte or something that's going to keep me from being nauseous. But a personalized thank you card is more than just a thank you. It is a brief reminder of how much you appreciated the conversation. As a special thank you for all my subscribers, I've actually created a downloadable thank you template that you can customize and print out yourself, or have something that's a little bit more generic, but then you can customize it with a sentence or two in your handwriting. So you could do it any kind of way, but that is actually linked in the show notes of this recording. Do follow up and look for your customizable, thoughtful thank you note. All right, on to tip number 7. Number 7 states, attend company-sponsored events. So here we go with a little bit more of a stalkery vibe. And so if you think about the whole trope of someone ghosting you or kind of, you know, fading into the background, what you want to do is stay in that person's presence, so to speak. So for an interviewer, perhaps that company or that organization does an annual 5K run, or they donate backpacks for kids who are going to a certain elementary school, or whatever it is, if they participate in a community event, because you know you've done your homework, you've done a little research on the company, and you find out where they participate and, you know, what are some of the events that they are typically a part of. Then what you do is you plan yourself to attend or volunteer. It's a little stalkery vibe, but it is something that will help ease your mind because you're doing something that's helpful for the community. But also, it may be that you are a part of an event that an employer or someone on that team may be able to bump into you, but, you know, be able to notice that you're there, or at any rate, to be a part of that event could give you a few feathers or brownie points. I hate to say brownie points, it seems so negative. Certain phrases give a negative connotation these days, and it's hard to keep up. Again, tip number 7, attend company-sponsored events. Show your dedication by participating in the events organized by that company, which can give you the chance to network with people from the department you aim to join. All right, let's stay with the little stalkery vibe. Not necessarily, I mean, a stalker in the typical frame of something negative, and you're going to, not stalker in the way that it would be negative, but in that same vein. Number 8 says, keep your eye on other job openings. If the opportunity that you've applied for and they're taking too long and it just doesn't seem like you're getting the attention from the recruiter or the HR person, keep your eye on their job boards. Is that job still listed there? If it has been taken down or if it is still there, then those two things can mean something very specific. If the job has been taken down, then you know that they're in the process of making their final decisions, or maybe they've already made their final decision. If the job is still there, then it's a very big possibility that somewhere the red tape has gotten tangled up in the weeds of a corporate minutia, and everything has just come to a halt. Things happen at different organizations for one reason or another. And the outside public, those of us who are on the outside looking in, who want to get that job there, we just have no clue of what's going on. And so keeping your eyes on the job board, on their job openings, can give you a little bit of a hint or a clue as to if they're moving forward or if they're at a standstill for the position that you are interested in. You want to continuously monitor their website for any new job postings that may be a better fit for your skills and experience as well. Maybe you apply for the tier 2 position and you really could get in on the ground level and just go for that apprentice or that tier 1 position or that associate level position. So keep those things in mind. Continually monitor, see if that job has been taken down off the board, if it's still there, if there are other jobs that are similar to, adjacent to, but have a different requirement for the skills for the candidate. And those are also things that you could additionally apply for. They'll see your name come up. Someone's going to see your name come up and realize that, hey, we've already interviewed this person, and this may be a much better fit than the other one. Not to say that having a downgrade is always the case. It could very well be going the opposite direction, and the more advanced opportunity is available at that point. And no one has circled back around to tell you that you need to apply for that one instead. So that is tip number 8. Keep your eye on the job boards. Keep your eye on the other openings at that organization. All right. And the number 9, if there's a drum roll to be had, this is where it would go. The number 9 tip to keep from getting ghosted would be to apply again in the future. If you don't get selected for the position and don't receive a formal rejection, don't be disheartened. Don't pout. Don't be upset. It's okay. Instead, give it some time. And if your skills match the future openings, apply again. Give it about 6 months to 12 months, but do try again. Set a calendar, again, with the calendar reminders. Put it on the Google calendar. Make that free Google account work for you, all right? Set a calendar reminder to circle back and look the job up on their job board again in 6 months. Look it up again in 12 months. If the job is out there again, that shows that there was some other reason that it wasn't filled before, or possibly filled with a candidate that has already moved on or really just wasn't a good fit. You can also set a job alert for that position if the option applies for that company. So some companies have a very elaborate job board, electronic job board, electronic, like it's, you know, it's Pong or something, but they have a job board on their website where you can create a profile and set the alert specifically for those positions that you're interested in. And when that particular job or those skill sets become needed, then they will ping you or they'll send you an email. So it won't be you looking for them. It'll actually be the companies or that organization's technology actually reaching back out and looking for you. And so you can set an alert on their job board just as well as you setting an alert in your calendar to go back to that website and look for it. But either way, it never hurts to apply again after a reasonable amount of time. Remember, staying engaged and proactive throughout the application process can set you apart from other candidates and can increase your chances of landing the job that you've been dreaming of. So don't give up. So we're going to take a short break right here, but when we come back, we're going to wrap it all up. We're going to recount our steps 1 through 9, and then we're going to put a little twist on the subject and see how we can turn those ghosting tips into a relationship and see how those tips can relate in that way right after this. All right, so those 9 tips are listed in the show notes, and you can use them. You can print them out. You can put them in your digital journal or calendars or however you want to use them so that you can implement some of those strategies for your career journey. But now let's dive into the tips on not to get ghosted in romance. In real life, getting ghosted can be a pretty triggering experience. I've heard from some friends, like it hadn't happened to me, I've heard from some friends that they have been driven to some pretty extreme tactics when they were being, as they say, cut off, when they're being ghosted or cut off. It's easier said than done to just let it go, like the cold girl in that movie about the icicles. She said, let it go and move on. But what if one could just go back in time and just do all of the things differently to make them unghostable? Okay, so let's look forward and just agree that there are a few ways that you could make yourself unghostable. And so in no particular order, but my order, number 1, get all of their contact information. Yes, we're going to get their home, office, other office number, Insta, Finsta, TikTok, Discord. Find out where they play and join the virtual party. Do they work out? Which gym? Get a pass. Get a guest pass. But don't join up with an annual pass or membership, because if the romance goes sour, you don't want monthly auto drafts as reminders of love that was lost. Okay. But again, unghostable means that I know I could go back in time and now I could just follow up and say, hey, where you been? What's going on? What's popping? I need to know why we're not talking anymore. But again, if you want to do things the unghostable way, or you want to do things the frozen princess way and just let it go, it's completely up to you. But again, we're just trying out some things. The more mature the relationship is, the less likely ghosting is going to occur. So whether that be both parties in the relationship are mature, or one person is being immature and the other person is being a stalker or vice versa, it's something that happens when you are going through those trials and tribulations of finding out who you are, and you're just, and you happen to be dating at the same time. And so this really got weird and rambly real quick. Honestly, don't worry about it. Ghosting is a thing. Employers will ghost you. People will ghost you. Make sure that you know who you are. Make sure that you know who you value and your worth in either situation. As a person who's seeking a job, as a person who's seeking a job, as a person who's seeking a relationship, know your worth, know your value. And once those things make more sense and matter to you more, then a ghosting is going to affect you less. You can move on. You can push on. Don't put all your eggs in one basket as it relates to an employer or a romantic relationship. You can apply for multiple positions, multiple companies, multiple jobs, take multiple offers, negotiate, and then you decide on the best one. I don't know if that strategy actually works as a personal relationship, although it could. Have multiple people that you are casually dating. That doesn't mean that you're doing the do, but you're casually dating or connecting with people. And then as your negotiation and as the offers become more substantial or real, confirmed, then you can narrow it down to just one. So maybe that is the answer. Ghostable means that you are in a immature environment, in an environment or a situation that is not necessarily one that is a good environment anyway. And so any person, relationship, job, ship, if it ghosts you, then it's not for you. And maturity says that we have to come to terms with it, come to peace with it, and just keep pushing, keep moving on, striving and moving forward. So that is going to wrap up our class, our 9 ways to keep from getting ghosted. And if you liked it, you like it. If you love it and share it and treasure it. And if you don't like it, then keep it pushing. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I've got some really good information for you. So stick around. You don't want to miss it. That's it for today's class. It has been very interesting. All of the topics are very always interesting to me. I'm always very excited to investigate different strategies for our life, especially the life that surrounds our career journey. That these tips have been that serve you well. I hope these tips serve you well and help you to avoid being ghosted after a job interview and make a positive impact on your job search journey. If you haven't already done so, please like, please subscribe, all those things. If you have any questions or topics you'd like me to cover in future classes, feel free to reach out. Send me an email, reach out in Instagram or LinkedIn. I'm really active on LinkedIn. If you connect with me, I'll connect with you. And if you send me an email or message there, I typically will send a response in a day or two, depending on my schedule. All right, this class has been awesome. Before we get out of here, I want to share with you a quote for the day, for your day. This quote is from an author, John C. Maxwell. And just as a side note, I really don't know everything about Johnny. So if anyone finds out something problematic about him, I want to add a preemptive disclaimer that I am not politically, religiously, nor economically associated by this person, nor connected to any belief beyond the quote that I'm about to share with you. Okay, that's my disclaimer. So, John C. Maxwell said, "Nobody finishes well by accident." Let that sit in your soul. Nobody finishes well by accident. I like to add that you finish well when it's on purpose and it's intentional, making steps to meet that goal. When I read this, it kind of resonated with me, like, oh yeah, you're right. They didn't just become an overnight sensation just by happenstance. Usually there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on in the background. Usually there's a whole lot of stuff that happens before we even see someone come up to the limelight. And then that makes them an overnight success in our minds. But again, it wasn't by accident. They took very intentional, purposeful steps to make it happen. And so those are the strategies that I want to impart to you. Those are the strategies I want to give to you. Go get it, whatever you want, go get it. But nobody finishes well by accident. Thank you, John C. Maxwell. We appreciate your words to help us throughout this day. All right. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you. And remember to be intentional with your strategy. Serious applicants get serious results. Until next time, take care.